Welcome to all of those that are in the building. Welcome to all of those tuning in online. I love so much that you are connected to us digitally, and I love the way that technology allows us to stay close no matter where you are. And so I just love you guys. It's Christmas, everybody. How many of you guys are feeling it? Man, I am. I'm usually not that guy, but I'm like feeling the Christmas spirit this year, and I'm enjoying it. I really am enjoying it. Loved the worship this morning. Thank you guys, by the way, to the team. You guys are awesome. Appreciate the way that you lead us so well. Yeah, you can give it up for them if you want to. All three of you, go ahead. I'm just kidding. Hey, listen, we have so much going on around here at Church on the Rock that is so awesome and so amazing. Like, for example, we have 21 days of prayer and fasting upcoming as a church. And I know that if you've never fasted before, you're probably like, that does not sound awesome at all. And let me just tell you something. Like, in your body, it isn't. It isn't. But what happens in your spirit, I'm telling you right now, it's worth it. It's really worth it. And so we start our year that way every single year. So I want you to start to think and pray about that and begin to let God lead you. What would God call you to separate from in that season? And we'll give you details on service times and prayer services and all the things that we're going to be doing during that season. Another exciting thing that is upcoming for us is that if you haven't heard yet, Church on the Rock will be expanding in the new year, and I'm very, very excited about that. Yeah, it's really, really exciting to me to see what God is doing here. So we've seen just amazing growth even since sort of COVID changed the world. We're still continuing to see growth. We're seeing people's lives changed. We're really seeing testimonies of God's power just at work in people's lives. And so God has led us to create an expansion, and that's going to take place in the new year, and dates and details soon to come. But what's going to happen, just in short, is that we are going to actually expand into St. Augustine High School's auditorium next door. This entire campus that you are currently residing in, that we have long outgrown, will transition into our kids' campus. So this will be all kids here, and then we will have a bunch of things going on next door. We're working right now on the details of transportation so we can move you from one location to the next. It's going to be big fun. It's going to be amazing. I'm just thankful for what God is doing. And so I just want to kind of keep that in front of you, because behind the scenes, like, we're hard at work, like a lot of details, but I want to keep reminding the family, like, this is actually happening and this is coming. And so we're about this close to releasing some details and some dates and kind of telling you what to expect and how you can get involved and things like that. But I'm excited. I'm just thankful for what God's doing. So that's what's ahead. What's happening today, though, is our annual impact offering. How many of you guys have participated, been a part of an impact offering before? Let me see your hands, a whoop, a clap, or something. All right, good, good, good. And so if you are familiar with what that is, you already know. This is the one day a year, and we do this really intentionally, and we do this very strategically. This is the one day that we don't just give a portion away of what you give, because I like to say this, don't give to a church, give through a church, right? Like, we vet organizations, we vet ministries, and we find, like, we really do our due diligence and determine, like, where is good ground to sow into. And so we consistently are giving to organizations, we are consistently giving to ministries that are local, national, and international. That's a regular. That happens 52 weeks a year at Church on the Rock, but this is the Sunday where we just give 100% of it away, all of it. We just take whatever you give, we just give it all away, and we go find ways to enhance people's vision. We go find ways to bless people that didn't expect it. We find need, and we just fill it, and it gives us an opportunity to really, really infuse some people, some organizations, and some ministries that are advancing the kingdom of God in our community and beyond. And so that's what today is, everybody. And here's what I want you to hear me say. There's never, ever pressure to give at Church on the Rock, ever. If you ever feel pressure, you are mishearing us. But we have communicated to those that call Church on the Rock home that, like, we wanted you to pray about this and take this very seriously. And so I do pray that you would participate today. If you're our guest, there is no pressure ever, ever for you to give. But I'm excited about it. I really, really am. It's always fun to be a part of making a difference in people's lives. And I've got a mentor and a good friend, and he often says this. He says, Josh, money is not oxygen, but it's close. It matters a lot. And so it's really, really awesome when we can take the blessing of our life, We can combine that blessing together and then go infuse somebody else with resources that help make their mission possible. And that's what we're going to do on this day today. And so just begin thinking and praying about that. And I'll talk to you more about those details later. Does that sound good, everybody? Sound good? Awesome. I'm ready to get into part two of our series. How many of you guys were a part of last week and you enjoyed it? Let me see in here. Okay, good, good, good. This is part two of a series that we're calling Got Joy. And the question is, and I know for all my English teachers, you're going to hate it. But the question is, do you got joy? Do you got it? I know that's not good English, but it's a good question. It's a really good question because this is a time of year where oftentimes people struggle. They really struggle. And there's a myriad of reasons why you might struggle really to find joy, to find hope, to find peace in the season. There's a lot of reasons. We discussed them a little bit last week. Like, for example, maybe where you live, it's very gray all the time. And maybe you're experiencing like snow and sleet and rain. And we're Floridians. We don't have that luxury. We have a whole different issue down here. But maybe it's not just that. Maybe it's just the first holiday season that you will experience without a particular person or a loved one. Maybe you're just going through a hard time. Maybe your business is struggling right now. There's a lot of reasons why people struggle in this season. And this is actually proven that just because the sun is out for less amount of time, it creates sometimes for people a little bit of a drag and a pull on their mindset and their emotion. And so we've been asking the question like, hey, you got joy? Because we're digging into the reality that regardless of our circumstances, regardless of what's going on around us, we actually can have joy. Say amen right there, because it's true. And I know that it's hard for some of you to believe right now, but I just pray that in this series, as we continue to unpack Scripture and the truth of God's Word, that we find joy in Jesus. Amen? Everybody, amen, amen. So to start, though, I got a little story I'm going to tell. I did this last week. Can I tell another story? Is that okay? Is that okay? So these two guys, they're fishing buddies. And they always go fishing together, and you know, one of them has a pretty healthy-sized boat, and so they go way, way offshore, and they fish often. And so one particular day, they're out there, and then all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, a major, major storm blows in. And the weather didn't predict it, and they didn't know it was coming, but this major storm is just blowing in like crazy. And so they're getting a little nervous, and so they pull up all the lines, and they get all their gear into the boat. But unfortunately, the storm is too much. It overwhelms them. It overwhelms the boat, and they find themselves stranded on a small tiny little island. No boat, no food, no water. Everything is gone because of the storm. And one of the guys is in a complete state of panic. I mean, he's freaking out. Like, oh my, nobody knows where we are. We have no radio to communicate. We have no water and food to sustain us. Like, this is a bad situation. But the other guy, he's just relaxing. Man, the storm's gone now. The sun's out. He's just kicked back. He's got his hands behind his head, leaning against the palm tree. He is in total relaxation mode, as if he's on vacation. Well, his buddy's frustrated because he's got this sense of panic going on the inside of him. And he's like, hey, man, I don't understand why you look so relaxed. This is a bad situation that we are in. Okay, this is really, really bad. And he's like, I'm not worried. And he said, I don't understand how you cannot be worried. And his buddy, just leaning back, enjoying the sun, he said, my friend, I'm not worried at all. I make $100,000 a week. And his buddy's like, who cares? Who cares how much money you make in a week? If we die out here, it is irrelevant and it does not matter. How can you be so relaxed? And his friend just kicks back on the palm tree and he said, my friend, I make $100,000 a week and I tithe 10% to my church. My pastor's going to find me. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's good. That's a good joke on the day we're going to collect an offering. Amen. Amen. He is in good hands. He's in good hands. All right. Hey, let's get started. If you're a note taker, there are notes in the seat backs in front of you. If you're on the front row, they're under the chair and link in the description for those online. I want to start right here. This is the Christmas story coming out of Luke chapter 2. And the Bible says that suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. We're going to talk more about that next Sunday. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. Why? Why? He said, because I bring you good news that will bring, what's it going to bring, everybody? It's going to bring joy. And here's my big question. Who's it bringing joy to? everybody, the whole world, joy to the world. And to make sure that there's no question about what this joy is, the very next verse says that the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And here's what I'm proclaiming in this series is exactly this, that joy is found in Jesus, the Savior. When he comes, joy can be found. And that's what we're digging into a little bit. Quick review from last week, just in case you weren't with us. These were two things we said last week. We said this, that joy is more than a feeling, right? There are feelings of joy. You certainly can have the feeling of joy, but it's bigger than that. Somehow joy goes beyond my circumstance. It's bigger than just the scenario of my life. What we determined last week is that joy is actually a mindset. We talked about the things that give us the mindset of joy. And so if you missed that, by the way, you can go back and find that on YouTube or our website and catch part one of the series. But today, write this with me if you're a note taker. I'm going to say two other things that I think are truths. And the first one is this, that happy is determined by what's going on around me. It's circumstantial. I'm happy when my team wins. I'm happy when it's my favorite meal. I'm happy when something goes my way. I'm happy when I get the promotion. I'm happy when my kid behaves or gets the award. I'm happy at the birth of the grandchild. Things make me happy that are completely circumstantial. Joy, however, joy is determined by what's going on within me. Because the child could misbehave. The team could lose. I could have to eat an MRE instead of my favorite meal. I could have a bad scenario, a bad circumstance. I could have something going on in my life that's difficult or adverse or not in my favor or in line with my desire, but I still can maintain an attitude and a spirit of joy. Because when it comes to joy, it's not dictated by the circumstances of my life. It's way stronger than that. It's deep within me. And I want to elaborate on this today because within is so important. What is going on within me? Because here, let me make a bold statement. If you are starving for joy, circumstances that are good aren't very helpful either. Because it's too short. It's too temporary. It doesn't sustain. And the fact of the matter is, it doesn't really hit that inner need that we have when it's just circumstantial or superficial. Joy is determined by what's going on within me, and I want to elaborate on that today. Are you ready? All right, I want to talk to you today about complete joy. Complete joy. How many of you guys have ever been around somebody that you're like, that person has complete joy? Do you know anybody? Like, you get around them and you can't help it. Like, you're happier because of who they are. Like, and you get around them sometimes. You ever been around that person? They just have the right perspective, it seems like, all the time. You know what I mean? Like, all the time. They can make light of a difficult situation, or they can find some humor, or they will always find the silver lining. Like, all the time. They're just gonna be like, well, you know, it's not the worst. You know what? I don't know. I can't even think of an example. It doesn't matter. You just get around those people. And when you get around those people, there's something that's like very, very magnetic, isn't it? There's almost something about you that's like, I want to be like that. Like, I don't know what you have, but I need that in my life. Like, when all the stuff hits the fan in my world, I need the attitude that you possess. How do you do it? And I think that there's actually an answer, and I think it's found in Scripture, and I want to talk about it. Here we go. All right, we're going to go to John chapter 15, and we're gonna bounce around a little bit. We're going to go in order, but we're just going to, for me to kind of get to the idea today, I'm going to skip a couple of verses, but I would highly recommend that you just read them all, maybe later this afternoon. But Jesus makes this powerful claim in John chapter 15, verse 1, and here's what he says, I am the vine. And then he begins to elaborate on this a little bit. So that dot, dot, dot right there are the verses that we're just going to jump ahead. But he begins to elaborate a little bit and describe that let me put it in my own language, that he's like, I'm the source of life. It comes from me. Like, you want life. You want joy, you want hope, you want peace, you want power. You're going to find it in me. I am the vine, and then he talks about how we are the branches, but then he uses this word a lot. He says, remain in me, and I love this, as I also remain in you. And just to dig slightly into this, the word remain, some of your Bible translations will use the word to abide, like to live, to dwell. And what Jesus is saying is that he's like, hey, I am your source of life. And in order for you to experience life and life to the fullest, then you have to remain in me, which means when I hear this word, I think about the reality that, like, staying power. Like, I got to live in the vine. And what I love is that he says, and I too will remain in you. And this is a promise. This is like, hey, you ought to. And this is like, I also remain in you. I love this. And he says, no branch can bear fruit. Remember, we're the branches, right? And no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you, say that word right there, remain in me. And this becomes thematic. And he continues. And then he starts to give us some detail as we jump to verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. And if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. Hold on to that, because I'm going to elaborate on that in just a few moments. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. And he just keeps using this word, remain, abide, live, stay. We're going to finish right here as we start to pick this apart. And watch this. I've told you this so that my joy may be where? In you. And that your joy may be complete. We're talking about complete joy today. To have the completion of joy. To be completely joyful. And what Jesus declares to be the key to having complete joy is to remain in him, to have that staying power. And I don't know about you, but I know about me, and what I know is that remaining can be difficult because of the distractions around me all the time. Constant. It's a barrage of overwhelming things that want to pull me away from a remaining steadfast spirit that I remain in Christ Jesus. There's fleshly desires that pull me away from remaining. There are things in my life that become distractions. Good things can become distractions and cause me not to remain in Jesus. Like good things like deer hunting. That's a good thing, everybody. But if Josh isn't careful, the good thing that Jesus decided to give to me as a blessing into my life can become an idol in my life, and I can begin to pursue that more than I pursue him, and then find that I've not remained in him. Some of us battle with some addictions or some repetitive sin issues in our life that we just sort of go back to and we go back to and we go back to. And it's not necessarily that we want to. It's just a legitimate pull. It's a draw. It's some of us even have it in our hearts and our minds. It's like, I would love to get beyond this, but somehow I keep falling back into these traps, and it's the pull against us remaining in Christ. Some of us just get caught off guard just by life because it's busy. There's so much going on all the time. Man, you have the obligation to family and work and the kids' schedules and soccer games. And now you gotta go on the touring team because your kid's awesome, you know, and they want them on the All-Stars and like all these things that are going on. And then just the pace of life. And then I feel like I soapbox this all the time, but society celebrates our busyness. It's one of the worst things. It's wearing us out, and society just champions it. Way to go. If you're busy, you must be important. And what happens is just life itself, with no willful, I'm turning on God, I will not walk with you, just life itself sometimes can draw us away, and we recognize that I'm not remaining in Jesus. And when we create that separation, when distraction creeps in and the distance is there between us and Jesus, it will rob us of our joy. Because the closer I stay to Jesus, the deeper sense of joy I have within me, the further away I get from him, the more fleshly I begin to think. And so I pulled out three things that I saw in Christ's words that would help us to have complete joy. Let's get into them. The first one is simply this, that we have to stay Christ-focused. Remain in me. I will remain in you. And I love that he says that. Like it's like Jesus gives us a promise that I have staying power. I got you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. When you step into a relationship with Jesus Christ, which is the bridge between you and the one true living God, we get a deposit, a gift. It's called the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of the living God dwells with inside of us. I'm just trying to say staying power. It's like, hey, I will remain in you now because you've got, I'm perfect, I'm flawless. I'm speaking for the Lord here because that ain't true about Josh Hersey. All right, let's don't misunderstand. But when you flip it to Josh Hersey, I am imperfect and flawed and distracted, and I've got issues and things. And so for me, I've got a battle for my staying power. For Christ Jesus, this is quality. He just got it. Like I'm with, it's a promise that I'll always be there for you. I will always have you. Now remain in me. Push back against these distractions. Push back against these temptations. Push back against worldliness. We've got to maintain a Christ-focused mind. Amen, everybody? A couple of verses to help us. Psalm 16:11 says this, that you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is, what is it? Fullness of joy, complete joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The Bible says in 1 Peter, you love him even though you have never seen him. This is actually talking about you and me, that we love a God we've actually never seen. We didn't have the privilege like the disciples to walk side by side with Jesus. We haven't laid our eyes on him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. Because when I remain in Christ, something very powerful is going on within me. Strong enough to supersede my circumstances. Strong enough to overcome the distraction in my mind about what's going on around me because I recognize what I have within me. Let me say it this way, who I have within me. There's a staying power in Christ Jesus. And so if I want to experience complete joy, I've got to stay Christ-focused. Second thing is this, that if I'm going to have complete joy, then I have to be truth-focused. I've got to focus on the truth. What truth? What truth? Like the truth. The power of God's word. Break it down a little bit. The Bible. God's living word. The only book that when you read it, it reads you. It's the only book I've ever read that countless times I could read the same scripture for years. And then all of a sudden, 18 years after the first time I probably ever read it, I go, I've never seen this before. It's a, come on, right? Has it ever happened to you? It's alive. And here's the thing. It's truth. It's in an unstable, chaotic, unpredictable life, it's an anchor to something solid. No matter what's going on, I have something to go back to that will keep me stable. It will help me to remain if I just stay truth focused. The Bible says that your commandments are my eternal possession. They are the joy of my heart. Do you see what remaining does for us? It gives me complete joy. The Bible says this, that your words are what sustain me. Your words are what sustain me. They are food to my hungry soul. They bring joy to my sorrowing heart and delight me. How proud I am, to bear your name, O Lord. The thing that I love about these verses is that it's describing to us something that goes beyond circumstances. Because it might be chaos around me, but I have complete joy. Why? Because I'm Christ-focused. I just stay focused on Jesus. man, it's unpredictable and crazy out there. You just lost your job, or you just lost that person that means so much to you. You just, whatever it is, this is going on. You continue to loop in that lifestyle pattern that you're trying to get freedom from. This problem's happening. Something came out, and you say, you know what? But I'm truth focused, and I know that He'll never leave me or forsake me. I know greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. It dwells within me, my joy. It's bigger than what's going on around me. It's bigger than my circumstance. I have joy within me. Why? Because I'm Christ-focused. Why? Because I'm truth-focused. And then finally, and we'll close right here, because I'm eternally focused. I'm eternally focused. Can I just speak candidly? This is the hardest one. For me. So maybe not for you, but it's the hardest one for me. Because when I find myself in a situation where I don't feel full of joy, it's probably because my eyes are only looking at the temporary. Because the fact of the matter is, the only thing that I deserve is death for my sin. That's it. That's the wage. For the wages of sin is death. That's what I've earned. That's all I deserve. That's it. So every other thing good that happens to me is simply a blessing from God, and every good and perfect gift comes from above. And what happens to me, though, just as a human being and a normal person, because I know some of you guys think because they call me pastor that I'm like superhuman. I promise you that is not the case. I'm as normal as everybody I've ever encountered in my whole life. I'm as normal as your neighbor and the crazy guy in traffic. Like, I'm that normal, okay? And I seriously say this because it's not a healthy thing in our minds for us to misplace, like, don't put people on pedestals and all that kind of stuff. Being a pastor doesn't make me better than anybody. It simply identifies my responsibility. That's all. And so for me, like, the normality sinks in, and what tends to happen to me is when I find myself frustrated, when I find myself upset, when I find myself whatever it is, it's because my perspective isn't on the eternal. That this whole thing is bigger than me, and I've already been given more than I deserve anyway because I have Jesus Christ within me. Like, what could man do to me? And I want that perspective like we talked about last week about Paul, the Apostle Paul, that, like, man, just whatever. To live is Christ, I'll represent Him. To die is gain, because I'll be with, like, I need that kind of an attitude. But if we as followers of Christ Jesus can maintain a mindset of being eternally focused, then what we're doing is we're remaining. We're recognizing what is within, and then all of a sudden what's going on around becomes less important. Because you know what? The fact of the matter is that one day, I will be with my Heavenly Father. And no matter what comes in this life, as much as I may not enjoy it, the truth of the matter is, hey, one day it's going to be really, really good for me. Come on. And I know some of us think because we follow God and because we're faithful and because we give and because we show up to church and because we serve and because we do good stuff, that fairness is that we get blessed by God. But they killed Jesus. And so John 16, the words of Jesus, He says, I tell you the truth. Watch this now, because some of you feel like this. You will weep and mourn. Some of you are like, that's how I feel. And maybe that's because of what's going on around you. But He says, you'll weep and mourn over what's going to happen to me, but the world will rejoice. And He's just talking about His crucifixion. He's pointing to it. It's gonna hurt you guys because you love me. Like, you're my guys. And it's not, you're going to hate this, but the world, they're going to love it and celebrate it. And of course, they don't know what He's talking about yet. He says, but you will grieve, but your grief will suddenly turn to wonderful joy. What I like here is that Jesus is not pointing at the circumstance. In fact, He describes the circumstance a whole different way. But then He describes something much deeper. There's something bigger going on. It's eternal. It's eternal. I know you don't understand it yet, but it's going to complete your joy. And it will be like a woman suffering, and only the moms in the room can really understand this truly. It will be like a woman suffering the pains of labor And when her child is born, her anguish gives way to joy because she has brought a new baby into the world. And every mom, right? Because listen, no offense, but you people are crazy. Crazy. If you did that to me one time, I would never do it again and I would kill the guy. I don't know. But you get it. You get all that, all trimesters and the swollen ankles and all the things, and then the actual day of delivery, and then somehow all that, you're like, you guys are like, that was awesome. Let's do that again, you know? And every guy's like, all right, this is fun. All right, anyway. Because you know. We love practice. Verse 22, so you, amen. It's a joy series. We're going to laugh a little bit. So you have sorrow now. You have sorrow now, and some of you are feeling it. You're experiencing it. But I will see you again, and then you will rejoice, and no one can rob you of that joy. Do you notice how Jesus is just pointing eternal? Everything he describes circumstantially is negative. But everything he describes eternally is joyful. But hey, don't worry about it. No, I know, it's not going to be easy. And yeah, it's going to be difficult. No, I know. And it's like my favorite thing about Jesus as I close is that he gets it. This is why Jesus walked on this earth and lived like us, because the Bible says that he actually is in heaven right now praying for you. And the best part is because I let me just embellish here a little bit. I just feel like Jesus is there with our Heavenly Father. And when we are going through difficult times, and when the temporary and the things going on around us seem overwhelming and burdensome, and we don't know how we're going to take it, I feel like Jesus can look to the Father and say, hey, I get it. Oh, I understand. This is hard. This is so difficult. What they're dealing with and what they're going through. It's very difficult. I remember when Lazarus died, I wept at the loss of my friend. The circumstances can be really, really difficult. But if we want complete joy, if we want the complete joy that Jesus offers, we're going to have to stay Christ-focused, right? We're going to have to stay truth-focused. And we're going to have to stay eternally focused. And then nothing can rob us of that joy. Okay, every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. I'm going to read a verse to you. And the verse says this, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me, to remain." And so this prayer is going to be for one of two types of people, and you get to determine which one you may be. And one person listening to this message, whether you're in this building or tuning in online, you may be the one that, like, today is the day of salvation for you. You've never made a decision to walk with Jesus, but the Holy Spirit's been moving in your heart. Today's your day. Others of you today, it may be that, you know what? I need to have the joy of my salvation returned. I need a spirit that will sustain me. I've got to remain in the life source because I want my joy to be complete. And so no matter who you are, I want to lead you in a prayer. And for some of you, this is going to be the prayer of salvation. For some of you, it's going to be just a prayer of reconnection, just getting back to the heart of God. And so, church family, you know how we do it. I ask everybody in the room to repeat this prayer after me. If you're watching this maybe at home with a group of people, I'm going to encourage you to also say the prayer out loud with me, because somebody may be saying it for the first time, and we really just want to surround them with confidence to be able to say it boldly. This is a life change moment for them. And so here's our prayer. I want you to say, "Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen." Hey, let's congratulate those that said that prayer for the first time. Congratulations. Congratulations. So awesome. Congratulations if you're online. We really want to celebrate your life change. And here in just a couple of moments, there's going to be somebody that comes on our news, and they're going to tell you how you can connect with us, because our heart truly is not just to lead you in a prayer. Our heart is to walk with you in a journey of faith. And so details of how you can connect with us through something we call a connection card here in just a moment. But what I want to do right now, as we get prepared today to receive our impact offering, here's what I ask you to do. If you're going to give today, perhaps by a check or cash or whatever, I'd love for you just to grab an envelope. Even if just right in front of you, grab an envelope. If you're like my family, we're going to give digitally, and so a lot of people are doing that. I'd love for you, would you get your phone and just get it out? And all I want you to do is just hold it. I just want you to hold it, okay? Just get something in your hands and hold it, because what we're going to do is we're going to ask God to bless this gift. I love so much that we can do this together, because the fact of the matter is that we can accomplish more together than we ever could alone. And when we pool our resources, and when we pool our mission, and we pool our hearts together in a combined effort like this, then it makes a greater impact. And so what we're going to do is today, by the way, we're going to collect this like we always collect our giving. All right? Nothing special is going to happen. So we have giving boxes at the end of each aisle in the auditorium. And then, of course, you can give digitally online. And they're going to show you that as well here in just a minute on the news. So if you're like, I don't really know how to do that, you'll see it on the screen here in just a moment. But nothing's going to be abnormal, except that we're going to take 100% of what's given today, 100% everything that comes in. I want to clarify, because sometimes people ask me later, and I'm like, yeah, everything that comes in is going to go out. We are going to go bless people and advance missions, ministries, and we're just going to be a blessing. So what we're going to do is we're going to take our representation of our giving, or perhaps your actual giving, and we're just going to go before the Lord. We're going to pray. We're going to ask God to do a supernatural thing. And we're going to pray that God would really truly lead us to make the biggest impact, not just our ideas, but exactly in line with what He's leading, what someone needs. What would make the biggest difference in the kingdom for this eternal perspective that we talked about? That's what we're going to pray, is that our giving today makes an impact that only God could do. Amen? So let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we just come before you today. First of all, we're just thankful, God. We're very thankful for the opportunity that we have to be a blessing. We know that we've been blessed. And the reason that we've been blessed is to be a blessing. God, I thank you so much for a generous church. It's overwhelming, the generosity in this house. And so we never at Church on the Rock have to ask them to be generous. They are already generous. And so, Father, our heart, as you know, Lord God, is to really make a difference in the kingdom. Now, we are not doing this to impress people. Father, we are not doing this to be entertainers. We are not trying to be the coolest place to be. We're just trying to be a place where the truth of God's word is taught, where the hope of Jesus is proclaimed, where the name of Jesus is lifted above everything else. And so, God, you've molded our hearts to be joyful givers. You've molded our hearts to think in the mindset of generosity. God, you've trained our eye to look for need and fill it, to find hurt and heal it. God, you have put inside of us a desire to be kingdom focused. Father, to trust you above all things. Because, Father, if we were selfish, today's offering would help our expansion a lot. But, Father, we will stay true to what you've planted in our hearts, because we believe with all that is in us that it is more blessed to give than to receive. So, Father, we pray for every dollar, every single amount of money that is given into this offering. God, we just pray in Jesus' name that you would do something supernatural with it. Father, we pray that the people that we bless would be perfectly in line with what the Spirit of God has said to our church. Father, that it would be perfectly in line with what they need to take a next step, or to receive a blessing. Maybe for some, it will simply be a reminder that you love them and that you are good. So, Father, we just pray in Jesus' name over this offering. that, Father, you would do a great and mighty work within us. And Father, what we know is that you bless those that give. And I do ask that you would bless every giver as only you can. And we pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Listen, thank you so much for giving. Stick around one more minute. We got something for you on the news.